Now let's learn.
We're on page Resh Mem Vav in the old edition. We're heading to the end of Perek Chaf. And the other edition, it's page Resh Yud Zayin on the bottom. Oh, yeah, also, that's, I can say it?
Yeah.
There's good news, because Shlomo Yonah said that he has a way of getting some more Sfarim. So if anybody needs a cipher, that it's possible to get some more. Okay, so you can call Shlomo Yonah about that. Let's learn. It's good to start with a little bit of Lakutei Tefilos, a little bit of a tefillah, all that we've been talking about, mishpat, judging oneself in a fair way, in an honest way, the good points, the points that are not always so beautiful, but to be able to open up to Hashem. In order to be able to ask for what we need, in order for us to be able to really daven, we have to first come clean. And coming clean means with the good stuff and the stuff that's not so great, but coming clean. And that's, all relationships depend on that. All relationships depend on that. So it's a little bit of a tefillah from Rabbi Nosson. Every now and then, the tzaddik who wrote this sefer gives us a taste of Rabbi Nosson's tefillahs. Everybody should have Likutei Tefillos. It's to use Likutei Tefillos, especially this time of the year, but all times. This Rabbi Nosson puts into words, into tefillah. He takes the Torah that we're learning, he makes it into a tefillah. And it also helps us to learn how to daven, how to daven to his bodhis. Ki'ani moida u'misvad l'fanecha b'chalei v'nefesh. You have it? So Rabbi Nosson writes in his tefillahs, Ki'ani moida u'misvad l'fanecha. I admit and I confess before you, b'chalei v'nefesh, with all of my heart and soul, sha'ani ba'atzmi, that I myself am guilty of all of these things from beginning to end. Halavai, we should all be as guilty as Rav Nosson Breslover. But that's how he looked at himself. But Avi Shebishamayim, my father in Shemayim, what should I do? Kani doime ba'atzmi. Kilo ayisi tofus bereshes. I see myself as a person who is caught in a net, who's trapped. In other words, I want to be good. Rabbi Nosson is much vague. I want to be good, but I feel like I'm tofus bereshes. Like I'm stuck. I'm caught in this net. Kilo ayisi tofus bereshes. Uchaoser bekavle barzel. And I feel that I am imprisoned behind iron bars. Udalsais nechayshes, iron bars and copper doors, copper gates. I'm stuck. Ve'ainli shum tikva. I feel sometimes, Rabbi Nosson says, like there's no hope for me. Ainli shum tikva. Ki im l'rachamecha v'chasadecha. Without your love, without your compassion, and again, your rachum, chanun, without your compassion, without your love, without your kindness, I'm trapped. I can't get out of this thing that I'm in. And Hashem, you told Moshe Rabbeinu, you revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shata Chaynein Umrachem, that you have Rachmanis. Afapish Enam Kedaim Bahagunim Larachim Aleim. Even for people who are unworthy. Afapish Enam Kedaim Bahagunim Larachim Aleim. We're not, even for someone who's not worthy of your love and compassion. Kamasha Kosev, as it says in Pasuk, because this is all after the Cheta Egel, V'chanoisi is Asher Achayim, V'chamti is Asher Arachayim. Hashem says, I will have Rachmanis on the one who I want to have Rachmanis on. V'darshu Chazal taught us, Afapi she'enu kedai lochem. V'chanoisi is Hashem is saying to all the Mekatrigim, there are all kinds of Ketrugim like the other side is saying, why should you have rachmanis? This person doesn't deserve your love. This person doesn't deserve any rachmanis. You gave him a thousand chances. So why? And he did it again. So why should you have rachmanis? So there are all kinds of kitrugim outside the person, inside the person's head. There are all kinds of kitrugim that are fighting against that rachmanim. So the same way when Hashem created man, you know, that Chazal tell us that there were malachim that came with a very strong case why man should not be created. They had very good tainus against the creation of man. And if you look at man's record, mankind's record over the past 5,782 going on 83 years, pretty bad. Overall, the record's not great. And the malachim had a taina at the beginning. Of my what are you creating such a thing? He's a liar. He's this. He's a thief. All the tainus that malachim had, they fight. They're going to fight with each other. So the malachim had a taina, and you all know what Hashem's answer was to that, because here we are. Hashem didn't answer. It says Nasa Adam. Hashem told the malachim. I guess the little kids would say, na 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 kishkas. I think that's an expression they use. But Hashem said, I already did it. It's done. Nasa Adam. Kvar nasa, Chazal say. I'm saying gemacht. It's done. I did it. So the Malachim said, well, yeah, but we had a whole list of legitimate tainus. And they are legitimate, good tainus. The whole list of tainus. So the Torah says that there's a mid of Hashem that's called, I don't care what you think. That's what it's called. I know better. I know this bria that I'm making. I know what he's capable of. I know the mistakes that he's capable of, and I know how he's capable of fixing them. And in the end, it's going to be okay. So Hashem Yisbarach says, "Chanaisi asasher achon." I will have compassion upon the one who I want to have compassion. V'yichamti asasher arachein. Even though, in your opinion, and you have all kinds of rayas, even though you could bring all kinds of proofs and evidence and statistics to say that man is unworthy of my love and my compassion, Hashem says it's a good thing you're not the creator. I'm the creator, and I have rachmanis upon the one who I want to have rachmanis on. The whole slichas. And the whole Rosh Hashanah says, "Make shuvim." This is our main. This is our main, not weapon, but this is what we're holding on to. This is what we're holding on to. After pisha any kedai v'roy hoglakach. It's all, even though I'm unworthy, and I know I've said this to you before. I said to you that I'm going to do it, and I'm saying it to you again. And last time I said it, I didn't do it, but I said I was going to do. There's a midah of Hashem that's called V'chamti Asher Achem, Afa B'Shenikilai Lochan. Hashem knows when to have rachmanis and when not to have rachmanis, and it doesn't go by the way that people measure things, that the person is worthy or he's unworthy. Hashem has his own way of doing these things. And sometimes you could see the other way. You could see, like, this person seems to be worthy. And Hashem has a different cheshbon. Hashem has his own cheshbonos. It comes from a higher place than malachim and a higher place than our way of understanding. So the Rebbe Nosson says, "Hitziya mimazga nafshi." Rebbe Nosson, I'm stuck in this net. I'm in this jail. And I'm asking you, because you have told us that you have rachmanis, even in someone who's unworthy. So I'm asking you, Haitzim Mimazga Navshi. He says the Pasuk, Haitzim Mimazga Navshi, take me out from this prison that my soul is in. Lahide says Shemecha, so I could thank you and praise your name. And Bi Yachtiru Tzadikim Kisim Lalai, and the Tzadikim will be encrowned through me. I'm not going to go into the deeper meaning of the pasuk. The point is that Rabbi Nosson ends with "Hitzim Mimazga Nafshi, Ki Sigmul Alai." That if you'll show me this kindness and compassion, I'll try to use it in a good way. I'll try to use the rest of my life in a good way, and to prove myself worthy of your love and of your kindness. So it's just an example of Rabbi Nosson's tefillah. So this comes together with the mishpat, and a person can say, I find myself guilty of these crimes, and as accused, I'm accusing myself, and I find myself guilty of these crimes. And I will try my best to figure out a way how to live a better life. But I'm telling you that, Rabbi Shlomo, that I don't know how. I don't know how. And I'm asking you to help me. Why should you help me? Because you promised Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people that you have rachmanis on Jews. And even those, especially those who are helpless, you have a special place in your heart. So I'm asking you to open up this prison. I'm in jail. I can't get out. I don't know how to get myself out of here. So can you open this jail for me? I don't know any other way out unless you open this door. Rabbi Nosson, so the Mechaber explains, Rabbi Nosson b'tfiloso, ain't no mastic is myself. You see, Rabbi Nosson is not finding excuses. He's not trying to find an excuse. He's not running away. He's not making believe. If we come now, we're going to come now, the Sfaradim already saying Slichas, and if the rest, Ashkenazim start to say Slichas in a few days or whatever, next week. So we could say it without feeling anything, and we can go to another Rosh Hashanah Kippur without feeling anything. And that's just the way of somebody who's in prison for so long and just accepting that I'm a prisoner for life. I'm in jail for life. I can't get out of here. And just accepting that this is the mitzvah of my life is that I'm in prison. Or we could try to make a case of getting out of prison. Why would a person not make that case? Because if he feels that he's beyond any help and that the Rebbeinu Shlomo would not be interested in taking him out, he feels he can't get out himself. So he's given up on trying. What about appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help this Rosh Hashanah? That the king could get me out of this jail? The Torah says he doesn't believe that the king would want him out of jail. So that's the only reason why we might come to Rosh Hashanah like thinking about lunch instead of davening. But if a person is still thinking about being free, so that shofar that we just heard the sound of the shofar, maybe it's Mashiach Allah who's blowing in the middle of the day, but or someone that just didn't get a time or someone's practicing, whatever it is. But the shofar is a shofar shel cheres. The shofar shel cheres means to be free. I mean that the same way that Yosef HaTzadik left on Rosh Hashanah, he left jail on Rosh Hashanah, means it's a time to get out. And the shofar is there to awaken that part of ourselves that wants to be free. Like the Yovel, the shofar of the Yovel, which we spoke about Shabbos the last couple of weeks. But being free. The shofar is that sound of Har Sinai, of Anach Hashem Lekecha, of being free. Of the slave, Shemitah, the seventh year, doesn't have to be Shemitah, but the slave seventh year ending his slavery, Yovel ending everybody's slavery. The shofar shalcher is the shofar of being free. To get out of jail, but the main thing is Rav Nosson is not making excuses. Adrabba, who toil us a kol ba'atzmo. Rav Nosson is toil us a kol ba'atzmo. Now, when we're going to say slichas, the Ashkenazi slichas are filled with excuses. Just look, all the slichas are excuses. About the goyim hacking us and with another pogrom, another inquisition, all kinds of tzaras, the whole slichas. It's not very different from kinas. It's just that a lot of bad stuff happened to us. I don't have a living. So I'm in order for me to make a living, I got to be in the worst places, and I meet all kinds of horrible people. So you expect me to be a tzaddik? So I messed up, so could you forgive me? That's pretty much all of slichas. And basically, it's a very beautiful and sophisticated and poetic way of saying it. You did this to me, you get me out of this. That's really what it is. It's your fault. But that's not the whole slichas. It's not the whole slichas. It's a lot of slichas. It's not the whole slichas. And the ikur, of course, is beginning with, that's how we begin. Now, in Mishpat, one tries to defend oneself, of course, and you're entitled to defend yourself. And if you had such a life, and all kinds of things that happened to you, then by all means, bring up whatever defense you have. And get the best attorney and try to defend yourself with whatever you can. And that's good. But you better not delude yourself. Defending yourself is not the same thing as deluding yourself. You can defend yourself, but don't delude yourself. And therefore, so when you see Reb Nosson, who had every reason in the world, he could have. It would have been very easy for Reb Nosson to delude himself. First of all, he had terrible sorrows in his life. If you ever read his biography, if you haven't, Through Fire and Water, you have to read that. It's like, wow. If you can't make it to Uman this year, at least read the book Through Fire and Water. So Reb Nosson had a lot of sorrows, inside and outside. He had sorrows in his own home, and he had sorrows outside his home. Terrible sorrows. And Bechlal, he could have just made believe that he was perfect because he was way up there. So Reb Nosson didn't have to feel that he was Bechlal in any kind of a jail. But the main point that the Mechaber is bringing out is that the beginning of his bardus is mishpat, and the essence of mishpat is honesty, not to delude yourself. And therefore, even though in Slichas we do try to bring up all kinds of defenses, but for our generation, a lot of these defenses are not so compelling. Now, our grandparents and great-grandparents, the kind of tzaros that they went through, we have different kinds of tzaros. It's more internal than external. But still, there's plenty of tzaros, lo alein. So we're allowed to defend ourselves. And Hashem wants us to defend ourselves, adrab, but not to delude ourselves and to be honest. And therefore, to begin, l'cha Hashem, let's talk about l'anabash is upon him. And to stop and think about that. What does that mean? I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed. And to feel that. So if Nosson's not making excuses, other Rabbi, other he says, and the Dovah Toli Alabi. Rabbi Nosson is admitting. He's Maidu Misvada. That's how he begins. Can he Maidu Misvada? Well, this part of the Tefillah begins. Can he Maidu Misvada? It's me. At the end of the day, I'm not doing what I should be doing. But to realize that at the end, we're asking Hashem if they were unworthy, and we're asking for his rachmanis. Mitfiloso onolamedim eich lovel of Hashem. So we're using Reb Nosson's tefillah as a model to teach us a way to approach Hashem. Mitfiloso onolamedim eich lovel of Hashem. A mahalach of how to come to Kadosh Baruch. Even if you're out of excuses, even if you've run out of real excuses, even if you don't have terutzim, even though we're guilty, that just because we're guilty and just because it's our fault, doesn't mean that we can't come to him. Reb Nosson is saying, I'm guilty. I am guilty. But that doesn't mean that I can't continue on with and to ask and to beg you, because you revealed that you have such a midah. And that midah is especially this time of the year, the Yigim will be the Serachman. Why would a person dread Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? There are people who dread Yontif. Why would a person dread Slichas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? And if the answer is, it's hard for me to get up early, or it's a long davening, or I can't stand the baltfila, but I got to go with my father to shul or something. But those are not the real terutzim. Those are side things. Why would a person not be thrilled? Because Baruch Hu is saying, I'm opening up everything for you. All the oitza matnes chinam, the yugam nisrachim, that they're not like that the whole year. It's nothing like that. What's open now? What's open this time of the year in Elul? The Baruch Shalom is telling us such a thing. And a person understands, then there's no more wonderful time of the year than this time of the year. It's the most exciting time. It doesn't mean that it's not a little bit scary, but it's the most wonderful, wonderful time of the year. Kiklal, ain't come up in nimsa sefer shabekoich lalamed ech lifnas el Hashem lishpach lefonev esalev. In general, you really can't find another sefer that teaches us a way of approaching Hashem, pouring out our hearts before Hashem. The ratzo is to appease Hashem, lefai is to appease Hashem. Learn matinus to be able to plead our case. Vamaslos with our again, our excuses and explanations and so on. Levakesh, leschanin, to beg and to beseech. Like Likutei Tefilas, which now are completely, it's completely done, I think. Because I think the last year already was completely finished, the Likutei Tefilas, maybe not. I mean, there is an old edition, but I don't know if the new one is completely finished at this point. But there's plenty that's already been done of Likutei Tefilas in English. And there's no sefer like Likutei Tefilas that helps us, that teaches us how to daven, how to really daven. And they have all kinds of kitzurim now, you know, shorter ones, shorter tefilas taken from Likutei Tefilas, and then you have the one I've mentioned many times over the years. You can get one that's done topically. So if you want to talk to Hashem about, you want to daven to Hashem about eating, it's in alphabetical order. There's all the tefilas taken out on achila. You want to talk to Hashem about davening, but it's hard for you to daven. So then there's a whole, it's done alphabetically. You look up tefila, tshuva. So there you can get Likutei Tefilas now that's alphabetical. Because the regular Likutei Tefilas, it's an ocean. There's no clear seder in it. It's all different tefilas about different things, but you can get it alphabetically. Lachain, therefore, tzarech laharbas yom yom bamira, ubitfilam ha-sefer kodesh hazeh, chayk liyavim. Any person who's really serious about his bodhis should spend some time every day saying, at least for a few minutes, saying from Likutei Tefilas, using Likutei Tefilas. The Chaznish had one in his shtender. There will be people who say it's not true, but it's an absolute verified fact that he used to keep, the Chaznish kept a Likutei Tefilas in his shtender. I'm sure it wasn't just to make sure that the shtender looked nice. He had inside of his shtender, he kept Likutei Tefilas. Many, many tzaddikim lived with Likutei Tefilas, not just Breslov and Chassidim, but they lived with Likutei Tefilas. Asher Rav Nosson heid oid b'yimei chayev. Rav Nosson said, after he put out the Likutei Tefilas and it was already starting to be used, Rav Nosson said, Shekama anoshim kva yoshvim began Eden b'schus ha-sefer hazeh. Here, Rav Nosson said, that they're ready. Quite a few Jews are in Gan Eden, I mean people who already left the world, but they left the world being connected to Likutei Tefilas, who are zoche to sit in Gan Eden because of Likutei Tefilas. You could say it also means that while being alive, they're sitting in Gan Eden. In other words, their lives have been transformed and they're not living in Gehenna anymore. They're living. There are two ways to be in Gehenna. One is when you're alive, the other is after you die. There are two ways of being in Gan Eden. You could be in Gan Eden while you're alive, or you could wait till you die. So it could mean either one. But Rav Nosson says that there are people, Kray Yoshvim began Eden b'schus ha-sefer hazeh, and the schus of this sefer, that they say, not because there is this tefillah, because they say Likutei Tefilas. So everybody should make sure to have Likutei Tefilas and to use Likutei Tefilas. V'nei af al pi, sh'nizbor b'perek zeh, even though we're just learning that a person has to take responsibility, each one of us has to take responsibility for the things that we've done that are wrong. Of course, that's why there's a person takes responsibility and is charati, he regrets, and so on. We already learned earlier that does not contradict at all to what was written earlier, it doesn't contradict at all the person's responsibility to also see the good in himself, to find the Nekudas Taivas. It's not a stira. And the Mechaber repeats this many times throughout the Sefer because people have a hard time believing that. People are generally very black and white. If I'm bad, I'm bad. If I'm good, I'm good. It's very hard for people to think of themselves, even though they've done some bad things, to think of themselves as being good, because they've done a lot of more good things. So people, well, the way most people operate is that when they're doing well, then they have this feeling, I'm good. And then they don't pay any attention at all to the stuff that's bad, which could be a problem. And then when they're in a bad zone, then I'm bad. And they don't pay any attention to the good, which is terrible. That's what we were talking about last week. That's what mishpat means, the good and the bad. It's not a stira. It's just being honest. You can't be dishonest either way. You have to be honest either way. There are many, many good things. And there are things that are not good, if you be honest about it. And that's what we were talking about last week. Ken mashet sarach lodin is atzim l'kavzchus kimuvor b'tar resh pebeis. And that a person has to judge himself l'kavzchus, to give himself the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean to ignore the avayus, but that's what we were talking about last week. But it means the way that Rabbi Nachman explains in Azamra, in resh pebeis, to judge oneself l'kavzchus. She's a chelik mehemishpat. Because kavzchus, this judge, seeing one's nekudas tovus, is a very big part of mishpat, of judgment. Adas haimu ashem, to know if this person is really, you know, is, to know yourself and to be able to judge the level of guilt. Ubamehu ashem, and what are you guilty of? A person who was raised in a crazy neighborhood and in a crazy home obviously is not the same judgment as somebody who was raised in a nice place with good people. It's a different world. It's a different world. My father, I remember him saying once that, you know, I have to make this politically correct. Try. No, be careful. So there was a person who had that was a professional, but every reason in his life, because of his upbringing and where he came from in his neighborhood, to be a murderer and a drug addict. And that's what most of us chavra are up to. And this particular person was sent by, he worked for an accountant that my father had. My father had this Hasidic accountant. And this accountant had this guy who was working for the accountant. And in those, I don't know if the accountant is still there, but they came to talk to my father, this accountant. And he came from, he wasn't Hasidic, but he wasn't Jewish. And he was from a very, very, very hard neighbor, because my father asked him right away. My father was asking, where do you come from with this now? So after he left, my father said to me, a lesson like this, I had to hold myself back from kissing him. I wanted to kiss him. So I said, why? Because my father said, because you know what this person had to do in order for him to become this an accountant? You know what he had, a giver he is? You know what he did to that he had to bring himself up to make himself into such a person? Because he told my father a little bit about himself, and he had like, you should be this guy you think would be like in a park somewhere with a needle in his arm, dead. And after having done that, you know, to a lot of other people. And instead, he, you know, my father couldn't get over the fact the guy's wearing a necktie. My father just couldn't get over it. And he's talking and he's educated. Not because he thinks that those people that they're dumb, is because they start off with so many strikes. Many of them start off with so many strikes against them. My father's son is spoiled for me. He said, I have such admiration for this person. Wow. It means he fought against the whole culture. And he made himself into something. My father obviously felt it was a good thing to talk to me about, that he wanted me to hear this. And I remember that. My father was so impressed with him. Now, of course, if you could spin that to make it look like it's racism, but that's not what it was. It wasn't at all. It was admiration. Did my father have a certain way of looking at that chevra? Yes, he did. Not all of them, but it was, you know, based upon what he understood, what he saw. That's what he saw. But he said, "Adrabba, what a great thing that this person that he built his life up in such a way." You have to understand within yourself. You have to see the good points. You have to see and to be honest and talk about the challenges that you had. Because sometimes a person is doing something that's not, you think that you're doing it intentionally. And the emphasis is that it's not really bemazed, because there are different madregas of the hachis and the oven, amazing, and shaygeg. I'm not getting into it now. that you know that the poskim say that that for instance nowadays a Jew who's mechal Shabbos, a Jew doesn't keep Shabbos nowadays. It's not the same thing as Jew who's mechal Shabbos 100 years ago, who was and was raised in a So should a person now, let's say you get some Baal Tshuva now, so he should start crying gevalt that for the first 30 years of my life I didn't keep Shabbos. I'm a Rosh, I was machal hundreds of Shabbos, I was machal Shabbos, I was machal. You say, what would you, any of us would say to him, what are you talking about? You were, it's not your fault, you were raised, you weren't raised, you never went to yeshiva, and you were raised without Shabbos, so why should you be, why are you yelling at yourself? You didn't mean to be machal Shabbos, you don't know anything about Shabbos. So a person has to know when is it b'shoiging, you have to be very honest. When is it more of a b'shoigeg? When is it unintentional? Or it's even Mr. David Tzadikim, like Rabbi Tzadok, who saw that much of the guilt of the generations of the end of time is an oynes rachmanu patri. It's the anusim. That on certain things in particular, that at the end of time, there are Jews who are simply anusim. In other words, that it wasn't a matter of their free choice. They did not have the ability to. Just like that person didn't have the free choice to keep Shabbos when he was younger, he didn't know. There are people who nowadays who know about certain things and they look like they have free choice, but they don't really have free choice. I was talking to somebody earlier in the week who was telling me about his upbringing, and it's like a house of horrors. It was crazy stuff on so many levels, just crazy stuff. And again, you look at him and he's trying to put on tefillin. He's trying to keep Shabbos. And there are things that he's not succeeding with, and he's being hard on himself. And I told him, you're an onus. What do you mean? It's a nes that you're bechlal. It's a nes that you're alive, and it's a miracle that you've made yourself into something like this. And a person has to be able to see that his nekudas tovus, and what is it that he's accomplished, and what is he up against, and what is he fought against? Again, not as an excuse, but to be able to make an honest evaluation, an assessment of who he is and of his life. Because you could be making a terribly wrong evaluation or assessment, like. When I was growing up, if a kid didn't know how to read, the Rebbe called on him to read, or the teacher called on him to read something, and the kid didn't read it right, the teacher would say, "Befeish, what's the matter with you? What are you, an idiot?" I mean, that's how we grew up in school. What's the matter? Why can't you read? It's right in front of you. And I remember, like, teachers, there was this one particular English teacher with red hair. Oh, an old lady. I mean, it probably wasn't really red, but it looked like red. And she would just say, "You're stupid. You can't read." She used the word "stupid" in class. "You're stupid. You can't read. Look at all your friends. They can read. You're the only one that can't read." I don't know what happened to that kid, but that's before there was such a thing as dyslexia. I mean, not before there was such a thing. Before it was diagnosed, that there's all kinds of in yonim that people have. The kid, it could be this kid's looking at the book upside down, right? And the teacher says, "You're stupid." Maybe the kid's much smarter than her, but he has a reading problem. Can that be used as an excuse for other things? Of course, it has to be honest mishpat. So you could have somebody that's his whole life is doing terrible things, and he says, "No, I have this thing, I have a reading disability." That's also, it has to be honest, but at least to know that there's. That you could defend yourself, but not to delude yourself. It has to be a din emes. Ubechlal ze shizbar etzlo mahu reitze umahim advarim shehu nilcham behem. And a big part of this judgment is to ask yourself, like we learned earlier from the Ramchal, what do I want with my life? Where do I want to go with my life? What are the things that I'm fighting against? What am I fighting against? There's a Meridik Vart from Ramesh Shapir, Zech Tzad of Kursla Vracha, Ramesh Shapir. It would take like 45 minutes to say over, but I'm going to try to give like a 2-minute version. But Rameh Shapira. You know that when Avraham Avinu, when he was going to the Akedah, it was 3 days there. So the Medrash says that the Satan came to him with all kinds of reasons why he shouldn't go to sacrifice his son. And the Satan also went to Yitzchak. I mean, after all, didn't God promise you that he's going to make a big nation? All the tainus that the Satan had, and with all the tainus, Avraham Avinu kept on, Avinu says, no, you're just the Satan. It's whatever, and Avraham Avinu kept on going. Yitzchak even also, it's the Satan. Sudden, and kept on going to that cave. So Rameh Shapira asked us a strong question. Listen to this. It says that he saw that it was a ram, an aisle, right? The shofar. He saw there was an aisle that was stuck in the, how do you say svach in English? The thick bushes with the thorns and everything, whatever. I mean, they call it a thicket. Is there a word like that? Something like that. That besvach is like the word mesubach. It was like a net. It was stuck. The animal was stuck in this bush, whatever it is. And that Avinu understood that this is what he's going to sacrifice, and he made a carbon, right? And the rest of it is a Rosh Hashanah and history. So the Rameh Shapira asked, How come Avinu didn't think that this was a stam satan also playing a game? Then instead of sacrificing my son, they're making a whole thing. They're making a game that there's a malach telling me, "Al tislach yad chalana." Really, it's the satan that's trying to stop me from doing what I ordered. God told him to kill his son, right? And I got a malach. Who are you? Could be a satan. And then oh look, all of a sudden he sees this animal in the thing. So. Maybe the whole thing is, maybe this is all Satan thing. How come over here he doesn't say, "I get out of here, the Satan," and he goes and go and kill your son, right? So Rameh Shapira asked the question. So Rameh Shapira said like this: when he saw that the aisle was struggling, was stuck, then he understood that that's from the side of holiness. That's what he said. It's a very deep Torah. Because when it comes to the Satan, everything is glach, everything is easy, everything goes simple. So he knew that this wasn't simple. He knew that it was nechaz b'svach b'kanev. He said that a Jew should know that in this yonis are very holy things. When you feel that you're stuck in that net, that's not from the Satan. That's the Baruch Hu was making you into something greater. That's what he said. So it's a very deep Torah. He saw that the aisle was not. It didn't just come everything nice, and the sudden always makes it like it's everything is fast food ready. This wasn't like that. The aisle was nechaz. He said, "No, this is something else. This is the Baruch Shalom is telling me. He's telling me that nisyonos are hard. But I don't want you to kill your kid. It's nisyonos are hard, and the animal's stuck, and you also feel like you're stuck." That's what Nisayon is. And Nisayon is a part of life. No heart. And you feel like you're stuck, like Rav Nosson was describing. But that's what Nisayon is. Then he understood that this is Nisayon, that this Nisayon is coming from Hashem. It's not the sudden playing a game. Hashem's Nisayon is different. It's a different thing than the Nisayon of the Yetzirah. Or the Nisayon that come from the sudden. That's a different kind of Nisayon. There's a lot to talk about. It's not an easy verse, but that's what I remember from it. Then he ends and says, "So you talk about mahu roitza, what are the things that you're fighting with? What's your thicket? What is it that you're struggling with? What is it you're fighting with in your life? You have to talk about those things that you're struggling with, that you're fighting." And Hashem's book says, "I know you're struggling. I sent that for you because you need that to become greater, and I sent that to you. It's not from the Satan. It's not from the Yetzirah. I made that. That was custom designed for you right now in your life, like the Ma'aseh of the Zohar Kodesh, the designer that was sent. And all of my I'm going into right now to the test the Ben Melech. The king sent the king sent that woman to test the prince, and Hashem's book sent this thicket that you're stuck in. That's your nisayon. And talk to Hashem about it." It's not a sudden. I was talking to the Bacher, and the Bacher was telling me that he had a great zaman in yeshiva, whatever. And then think there's a maisa sudden that happened, that he's on the airplane coming back from Eretz Yisrael from yeshiva, and the most beautiful girl he ever met in his life is sitting in the seat next to him. Maisa sudden. And she's Jewish. Not religious, but she's Jewish. Maisa sudden. So he says, no. So how did the maisa end? He says to me, oh, Rabbi, is that right? Did such a thing happen to me? Then here I had such a good zman, and everything was going great. And then I get and they put this girl next to me in the chair, next to me, and she's beautiful and she's personable and she's Jewish. So I said, so what's the seif ma'isa? So he said to me, I took her phone number. I said, that's not the seif ma'isa. Did you call her? He said, no. I said, Ashrech, and I kissed him on his head. Ashrech, Ashrech. It's a good story. They don't always have happy endings. Ayid. So I said, he was trying to tell me what a Rasha he is. He was telling me that here I had a whole Zaman in Yeshiva, and I was steiging and learning, and I spent 8 hours, he said, I didn't watch one movie because I was talking to this girl for 8 hours. And he was like falling for her, you understand? I'm talking to her for 8 hours. Akadekakta, this bacher took her number to call her. And he took it and he threw it out. And now he's telling me that he's a rush. I said, I'm not convinced. Wow. The Gewaldige Meise. The Gewaldige Meise. I don't know. He didn't call her. That was part of the conversation. I don't know if she saw. But what? LL. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's a great story. But he's only looking at the bad. You understand? He's only seeing that he's bad. Why is he seeing that he's bad? Because how could a guy like me that I learned Torah, how could I do such a thing? What's wrong with me? The Torah says you're a human being, and the girl says, I see it. But you didn't have either. And it's, what you did was very, very heroic. But you're not even thinking about how you did such a thing. You're only thinking about how bad you are. So there's no reason for you not to have this month now, the next month, to be even a better month than the last month. Stop thinking about it. This month can be better than the last month because you're a bigger tzaddik now than you were the last month. Because you're like Yosef Tzadik, was Vayonas Vayetze. Yeah, but I was talking to her the whole time, and I sometimes think back about her. You know, you work at it. But it's Vayonas Vayetze. It's like Yosef Tzadik and Maisa. And she gave him the number. You understand? How do you get the number? Because she gave him the number. It's not like he couldn't get it from her. And it's Vayonas Vayetze. So why shouldn't you have a better Zman now than last Zman? Why? Because he says he's a Rosh. He didn't use the word Rosh. He said, what kind of a bentara am I? That's what he said. This is what a bentara does. I spend the whole time on the plane. Right after this man, I spend the whole time on the plane talking to a girl. That's not what a bentara does. That's not the whole story. You're right. A bentara shouldn't be doing that. That's true. I'm not going to argue with that. But you were an ish maslich. You were maslich. The end, you were maslich. And that's what it's all about. You're maslich. So you have to judge that too, or else it's not a dinemis. Amahim advarim she'en erotza achalomaslich lizgab. Talk to Hashem about the things that you want to be good at, but you're not maslich. You just keep on failing. You keep on failing. Because it's very obvious and clear that if you don't talk about these things, and if you're not honest and bring them out, hadin any yochelias dinemis, then the din is not a dinemis. It's not an honest din. It's not a dinemis. Alkein, and the good stuff too. Alkein, k'shetzorach l'kayim nachbos adrachein v'nach kaira. Therefore, when you have to mekayim nachbos adrachein v'nach kaira, to search out, you know, to judge yourself, to search out your ways, and v'nach kaira, and to examine your life, to search and to examine. Or as we learned from the pasuk last week, to break out of those chains, ask Hashem to help you to break the chains that are holding you back. To change your life, to get out of this way of a life that's not good. That you have to find a way to change, and the only way that you could change is by talking honestly about what's wrong and asking for help. That's how you could change. And that's what it's about. It's not to be depressed and to be afraid and to. It's not chalitzitz. Rav Shalom loves us and he wants us to come back to him and just to talk. Once a person is talking about this and has made a decision to change his life. Then, when you've been honest and you're talking about all the different things you've done wrong and you want to change and help me change, I don't know how to change, then certainly you can and you should talk about things in defense of yourself. That Rabbi Shulman, these are the reasons that I find it so difficult to get out of this stuff because of place I grew up, and these are things that I've been struggling with my whole life. Or this, whatever this, the Indian is. Each person has his own story. And be it suim or piusim, and to appease Hashem, they say, "Maybe this is not a good excuse, but I feel that it's holding me back, and help me. I don't know. I'm not trying to deceive myself. I'm being honest about it, but this is something that's hurting me, and it's hard for me to move on." And then you'll see that if you live this way of life and you do this, you'll be able to get out of the darkness and to come to light. You'll be able to do tshuva. If we would live this way, we'd be able to do tshuva. Not once a year, not just Yom Kippur. If we would live this way and we would live in the world of his brothers, and this is what we're learning, we would all be zayicha to do tshuva. We'd be zayicha to come back. So Hashem Yisbarach should help us to live the right way and to return to him. He's waiting for us. We should be zayicha to go back.
Amen.